I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, follow me, Jesus says. Come, follow me. Over and over in the Gospels, Jesus invites people of all sorts and conditions, persons of all ages and backgrounds, abilities and disabilities, deeply spiritual people, agnostic people, uncommitted people to come, follow me. You and I have come to church here at St. David's this morning because he's called us. We may not have known it was his voice or his encouragement. It may have sounded more like one of our parents or a friend. We may be here because we heard a call of a sense of duty that we ought to go to church on Sunday. Or there's some curiosity about this Christianity thing that got us here today. But be assured, he called you and me to be here today. Maybe it would be easier to accept the promise that Jesus himself has called you if he were physically standing in the room this morning, looking you into the eyes and gently saying, come, follow me. I suspect that some of us would be overjoyed at that kind of real-time invitation. Our lives aren't going all that well at the moment, to be honest about it, and we need a change, a real change. And the thought that God would be interested enough in our lives, personally interested, that God would come to us and call us out of the life we're living to a new life, would be the gift that could change everything. Our disappointments, our struggles, our doubts, our fears, our poor choices, our loneliness would be wiped clean in the instant we see that face and look into those eyes of love and understanding and hear his voice beckoning, come, follow me. For others, Jesus' invitation to come follow me would be a welcome encouragement to do something we're trying to do already. His invitation would be a reminder, a confirmation that we can press on, that we can continue to walk the path we're already trying to walk as one of his followers, like a parent thanking us for doing something particularly well or thoughtful, or a coach or a teacher or a choir director or a colleague admiring our work and encouraging us to more. Jesus' personal invitation would rekindle our commitment and dedication. For the rest of us, Jesus' physical presence in the room and his personal call to come follow me would be a challenge. It would mean some pretty big changes in the lives that we're living. Most of us don't like to follow all that much, I've noticed. We like to lead. Or we at least prefer to choose our own way as often as we can. And the very idea of giving over control of our lives to God and walking and living in a different way for God's purposes first and not our own might be a little hard to accept, Jesus physically in the room or not. That's the hardest part for me. Whether my life is going well or not, or whether I think I'm following Jesus or not, I like to decide. I like to choose. So giving my life over for God's purposes and following can sometimes be a very hard day-by-day decision. But whichever place you find yourself this morning, whether you're far from God, whether you need a gentle reminder or encouragement, or whether you're trying to lead when you're called to follow, know that Jesus is calling you and me, calling us away from the periphery of the Christian life, away from the edges, away from watching the life lived with God, to a deeper participation, to a closer following, to a life lived connected to God and to God's community of love and grace and purpose and hope. I think sometimes that we forget or misconstrue the value and gift of the life that Jesus has called us to live. I hear too many Christians talking and writing about following or living the Christian life as live it or else. Answer Jesus' call or God will not love you. Answer Jesus' call or your eternal destination might be a little warmer than you had hoped for. Certainly, scare tactics can be an effective way of stirring people to answer Jesus' call. And Jesus himself has some challenging words and stories about our lives lived for ourselves alone and what our end destination might entail. But like light casting shadows, that's not Jesus' intent. Jesus is calling us to live a life that's far richer and hopeful and fulfilling and exciting than any life we can come to on our own. And in this year of St. David's focusing on being a community for the world, I would describe the life that Jesus is calling us to in three ways. First, Jesus is calling us into a living relationship with God. In Jesus' time and in our time today, too many people are living their lives alone, separated from the love and presence and community of God. As Christians, we believe that God is one, but we also experience God in community. That's why we use Trinitarian language like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier, we might say, though our language is far too limited. But the Christian view is there's a unity in God, but there's also a community of love and creativity and holiness that is the life that Jesus is calling us to live. Jesus is calling you and me into a life with this community of God that opens a way for us to experience a deeper love and holiness every day of our lives. Second, Jesus is calling us into a particular community, the church. The living embodiment of Christ in the world, St. Paul would say, a community where we are loved and can love others, a community where we can find forgiveness and grace and offer it in return, a community where we can exercise the gifts God has given us and relish the gifts of others as we build up this body of Christ and offer our shared gifts for the life of the world. I've been doing a lot of reading this past summer about the problem of loneliness in America today and how we Americans are very disconnected from one another, even though we have these incredible technological tools that many of us have in our pockets or purses right now that seem to connect us to people at all times and all places. But though we think this is some kind of community, it doesn't replace the joys and challenges of real people in real time. And it's actually contributing to the separation and loneliness of our nation. This isn't the only time when loneliness is important in the history of the world, and Jesus' call to come follow me is an invitation to the lonely in his day and in our day, a call to lonely people who are living lives disconnected from God and other people. And that's part of the life that Jesus is calling us to live. And finally, Jesus is calling us to bring this Christian community to the world, to be a group of people who welcome others into this community here at St. David's, for example, so that they can come to know the love and grace and goodness that we're coming to know. But it's also a call to spread our values of grace and love and forgiveness into the nation and the world around us, so it looks more like God's vision for the world rather than ours. But just so you know, the following is not always easy, as today's gospel describes. And while Jesus is not calling us to actually hate our families and our lives, he is calling us to make our relationship with God our first priority. And while Jesus is not calling us to die on a cross anytime soon, I hope, he is calling us to set aside our focus on ourselves and to think about ourselves less so that we can think of God and others more. And while Jesus is not requiring everyone to give up all their possessions and live in poverty, he's calling us to hold our possessions lightly so that our possessions don't possess us, and to become better stewards of all we have by giving it over more and more for God's use. Jesus' call is an invitation to a life that's very different from the life most of us are leading. And it's the greatest challenge we could ever take on following Jesus. But our following comes with gifts, with a living, close relationship with God, with a community where we are loved and can love others, and with a higher purpose for our life and for the life of the world. The famous baseball player and wit, Yogi Berra, in later life became better known for his misuse of the English language and common phrases than as a baseball player and manager. My favorite saying of his is, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Well, we know we can't choose both directions at a fork in the road. We've got to choose one way or the other. And only one way, Jesus says, will lead to real life and real community. And so my hope and my desire for all of us in this new year is that today or tomorrow or in the coming months or sometime during the year, that we will all answer Jesus' call to come follow me, to choose so that we may be drawn into the closer presence of God, to choose so that we may be a community of love and grace and activity, to choose so that we may be empowered to welcome others into our community and to share our values and gifts in the world that is in need of grace and love like no time I have known. I don't know how you and I will be changed by our choice to follow, or how each of us will experience the power of the community of God, will share in the gifts and life of this community, or how our community will make a change in the world around us. But I do know that this new life, this real life, begins and continues when we answer Jesus' call. So listen with me. Come, follow. Amen.